there's, you can see the flags are set out on the floor in a particular order today. Last week, we looked at the fact that over the last 12 months, we've been engaging with heaven, and heaven's been open over us, and we've been engaging with the presence of God around his tabernacle. That has been sort of manifested as we've been singing Yod Hey Vav Hey and the name of God and engaging with the name of God. That has caused us to engage with the colors and the portals that open through different wavelengths of light and different movements that happen. And so we've seen a lot of that over the past period of time, where we've been engaged with the four faces and the four angels. And we looked at that last week, of how the four angels and the four faces of God interact and how we can engage with them and experience their presence and take that back into heaven. But today we need to look at the seven spirits of God, which is really the sort of the key in terms of our equipping by God. And we looked at that and how it was set out in north, east, east, and west, and this being east last week, and where in the middle, normally we have the rainbow flag or the representation of the fullness of God, which is expressed in the seven spirits of God. And we looked at the lion, ox, eagle, and the man, and how they form together a pattern. That pattern is a pyramid pattern, which helps us see how they interact with us. And last week we saw that complicated diagram. There's sheets there. So if you'd missed that, listen to it on the website. It's important to see where these two interact together, each of them. There's eight different interactions there, which will enable us to see how we can engage here as there's an overlap of heaven and earth, and then how we can go into heaven to engage there. And I sort of showed this diagram, really, of the overlapping realms, the heavenly realm, the supernatural spiritual realm, and our realm. And it forms this sort of interesting pattern. And I did share that when, as a leadership 12, we sort of were engaging with our scroll and we stepped into heaven, a number of us saw some patterns and pictures. And what we saw is a representation of something called Metatron's Cube. A Metatron's Cube, if you do a Google of it, come up with all sorts of information. Some of it good, some of it bad, some of it rubbish. But It is something that God is revealing of how certain patterns and the certain dimensions. Now, we see that as a flat thing, but when you look into it, you can see that there are dimensions in there. But actually, there are many more dimensions than we realize. And it's to do with how everything is held together with something called sacred geometry, that God has built patterns into everything that he uses to bring a connection. And if you actually break those things down, you'll see various bits of those patterns formed. And they think, well, why am I sharing this? Well, because actually we saw it. It is on our scroll, and I know God is going to unveil it. So you will have probably experiences of it. So if you see certain patterns or certain colors or certain shapes, don't get freaked out by it. Just realize that God is wanting to unveil something. And you'll find that the circles there are all about governmental things. So there are some pictures that you can find that sort of show the sort of the spheres of government. But someone sent me a really interesting link this week from a TED lecture from a quantum physicist, basically saying that there are eight dimensions where all the forces of nature hold everything together. And he was calling this sort of the geometry of everything. And so there are some pictures that came from that lecture which look at all the weak and strong forces that hold everything together. And when you look into it, you'll find actually they're very similar patterns. These are scientific patterns. They're not sort of Metatron cube technically, but actually you can see that there are dimensions that all the forces are held together. And this is at a subatomic particle level, but also on a large macro scale. And then there are some diagrams which really just show some of these things that we're starting to see. And some people will see different shapes according to different places that they're called to in government themselves, in dimensions in heaven, in certain pathways that they need to engage with the heaven. That's one that a number of us have seen, which is the cube. And when God gave Moses what were called tablets, that's what he gave him, a sapphire cube. When you look back in the original, it doesn't say tablets. And that sapphire cube came out of the throne of God, which is on a sapphire pavement. And you can read all this in the Bible. It's not something I'm making up. personally, I've been inside that cube in the spirit. I was here standing on one of these areas flags a few weeks ago, and actually I ended up inside there dimensionally. Wow. It was a wow. Because I could see all these multifaceted or manifold aspects of God's character and nature reflected as colors and sort of those facets within that cube. And it opened up an understanding of some heavenly governmental stuff that I'd been connecting with for a while. So some of the things, and I know Deb saw this as well, and this is a spinning cube of this sort of color. So it's a pretty interesting things that I just want you to be open. If you see these things, just be willing to continue pursuing it. Now, it is Christmas, so this is my take on Christmas story. What happened to herald Jesus's arrival? What happened? There were stars and signs in the heavens. That's one of the things that heralded it. And the Hebrew people called that the Maseroth, or the constellations. And they were aligned in a certain pattern that told the story of creation and redemption. And there's some really interesting books that go into those patterns. Now, the enemy's hijacked all that and called it astrology. Well, actually, the reality is the stories are written in the stars. The glory of God is displayed in the heavens. And the stars have an interesting part to play in various things. And then there were some wise men or some kings who saw those signs. Now, traditionally, I don't know where this tradition came from, probably from Victorian Christmas card makers, who decided there were three wise men and three kings, and they came, I suppose, because it talks about gold, silver, and, you know, gold, myrrh, and frankincense. No, I know the story really well. But actually, who were those wise men? And there were a whole lot of angels that were involved in this story. Angels heralding Jesus's birth, angels coming before his birth, angels after his birth. The heavens seemed to be open. There were all sorts of manifestations of things going on. Announcements, the glory of God, open heavens, a whole lot of freaked out shepherds. It was like, because heaven was open, there were supernatural signs of something, because when the alignment of things happens in the heavens, whenever God changes government, he actually does it through signs. And he does it through heavenly signs. And if you read in the Old Testament, you can see when certain governments came to an end, like Babylon or Egypt or Assyria, those signs happened in the heavens. And you can read it in Acts, where there were signs in the heavens because there was a new government. There was a new king on the throne. His name's Jesus. And see, Jesus did come as a baby, but he didn't stay as a baby. And the manifestation of those signs were all about understanding the role of kingship and authority. So interestingly, those wise men or kings came from the east. Now, we saw last week what came out of the east. The river of life came out of the east of Eden, coming out of heaven. And the river flowed out of the east gate of the temple, coming out of heaven. So where did the wise men come from? They came from the east. I would postulate they didn't just come from the east in a physical realm, because they came out of heaven. It takes a whole different turn on who the wise men were and why they came. Seven spirits of God came to Jesus with gifts that were in recognition of his kingship, his position, and authority and identity. And says in Luke 2:52, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. How? How did he keep increasing in those things? He was just a baby, after all, in an obscure part of the world. How did he increase in favor with God and men? Because he was tutored and trained by the seven spirits of God. That's why they came to him in his governmental position. Even as a baby, he was a king. Isaiah 54, and this is a description talking about Jesus, and it equally can apply to us if we apply it. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one. Who were the tongues of the disciples that he gave to him? The seven spirits of God. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. See, Jesus was a disciple and he was being trained and tutored into his role as king. They were training the heir in sonship and identity. Now, there's a huge shift coming in the realm of the kingdom and the realm of the spirit. People are picking it up. There's a vibration that is rumbling, and that shift is coming. I think next year is going to be a really significant year in a shift in terms of government into a whole new order. The governors and tutors are being released to prepare for that shift into that new order. That is why the seven spirits of God are so important. The seven spirits of God are here to train and tutor us to take our position as lords, kings, and sons. Are we willing to embrace that? If we're not willing to embrace tutorship, if actually we think we know it all, or we don't need to know any more, then we're going to fall short when it comes to understanding how we're bringing the government of God. We have to be willing to be tutored and trained to understand our destiny, which is to bring dominion and to bring rule. It's what God told Adam and Eve in the very beginning, to he blessed them. In other words, he empowered them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And he wasn't just talking about the physical earth. He was talking about the whole of the created order. So when God so loved the world, and he wasn't, again, talking about just this physical people, he was talking about the cosmos. That's what the word is about, the whole cosmos. Then he sent his only son. Because he loves the world and the whole of creation so much, including me and you, that he wants to bring it back into governmental order. So the enemy also counterfeits what God does. And just as God releases the seven spirits, so does the enemy. Luke 11:26. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. If you don't become filled with God, you become filled with other stuff. And the enemy will fill you with things which will take you on a wrong path. And it's the enemy's desire to rob, kill, and destroy. So he counterfeits everything that God does to destroy our destinies, to take us away from the path that God has prepared for us. Now let's look at some scriptures about the seven spirits of God. Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come. Now that's the I am of God. And we can engage in what was so that we can bring what was into what is so we can change what will come in our own lives when we begin to engage with God. Because we have access into what was in eternity to bring change into our lives today so that tomorrow will be different and it will align with what was. Interestingly, it says, and from the seven spirits of God who are before his throne. Here is a greeting from beyond the veil, not just from God, but from the seven spirits of God, who are not God. They are before his throne. God is on his throne. And they bring greetings. John brought greetings from them, which is a strong indication that they want to relate to us and have engagement with us. And he wanted to express that in that they express their greetings. In other words, hey, welcome, we're here. Engage with us. Revelation 4:5. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now you get very pictorial language, which is symbolic of what they're about. Revelation 5:6. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb, standing as if slain. Now we know the lamb represents Jesus, having seven horns and seven eyes. Now again, very pictorial language. It wasn't actually a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. It was representing something that God wanted us to understand, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So the seven spirits of God, which have those horns and eyes, have been sent out. Now, lamps equals light or illumination. So the seven spirits are about bringing illumination. The fire is about heat and refining. A throne is talking about government. A lamb is talking about sacrifice. Horns talk about authority, eyes, revelation, insight, and perception. And all those things were sent out with a purpose. And they represent the function of what the seven spirits are for us. So when something is sent out from heaven, it's given a mandate and authority to do a job. So the seven spirits of God have been released from the throne, place of God's government, to bring about that light, that illumination, that transformation, to bring us into our purpose and government. So they are to empower us and establish the kingdom in us and express it through us as heirs of God to the world around us, which really need us and him. And he meets the world through us because he has sent us to do that. We're his hands and feet, his body. Now the question is, are we willing to be as open to God to say to him, here I am, send me? Because that's what Jesus did. It's also what Isaiah did when he met the temple of God and the fire of God's presence and the altar. His response was, oh, woe is me. I am a man undone. In other words, I am unraveled. And you can find when you begin to understand how to engage around the seraphim and the altar, you can actually have your DNA unraveled to understand all the negative things that are in it. So they can be purified and refined, which we'll go into that sometime. Not today. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord. Now I wonder what the eyes of the Lord are. Interestingly, describes the seven spirits of God as the eyes, who move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. So the seven spirits of God are looking for those people whose hearts belong to God. And when they find people whose hearts belong to God, they want to strongly support them in their role and function, in what they're called to be, who they are, and what they're called to do. So the seven spirits of God will engage with those whose hearts are God's and whose desire it is to operate as sons of God. See, many people are content just to be a Christian who fills a pew and does their bit on a Sunday and then goes home and then comes back next week. That's not what God is looking for. He's looking for those whose hearts are his 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year and 366 days in every year. Because he wants everything of us all the time. And when he finds people like that, he will strongly support, equip, and train us to be who we're called to be as his sons. Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, or strength, some versions say, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits of God. And then in verse 3, which often isn't read, it says this, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. And this is the realm that we need to engage in. We cannot make decisions by what we see with our natural eyes and hear with our natural ears. We must have access to a spiritual understanding and seeing that will enable us to engage in a whole different dimension, which is why we have to operate beyond the veil, why we need to engage God in the realm of heaven and not just what we do naturally on the earth. Because your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we only judge by what we see on the earth with our natural eyes and hear with our natural ears, we're missing out on a whole gamut of revelation and understanding that will help us to be who we're really called to be, sons of God. And he wants to manifest his sons on earth and in the realms of the kingdom so that we can answer the groan of creation to bring it back into its original condition and purpose, to bring glory to him in that way. So the seven spirits of God are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is on the throne with God, and the Holy Spirit is in us. They are heavenly spiritual beings created by God to train us, mandate us, and equip us to become sons of God. They are testators of a covenant of adoption. Now, I've taught this before, and what happened in adoption was the old life got wiped out, and they had a document with a scroll, with a parchment, with the old life, And then the new identity was written down, and they had seven people who testated to that covenant that there was an adoption, that that person would be part of a new family. That's what they did in Roman law. And actually, this is a symbol of what God wants to do in bringing us into his covenant family. And he has seven spirits who will agree and testify to that, to bring us into that covenant of adoption, into who we are in the family of God. They are our tutors. Galatians 4, 1 and 2 says, an heir, though he be Lord of all, is under tutors and governors until the appointed time. We may be sons of God, but as babies, when we're born again, we need to grow and mature. God does not entrust his kingdom to babies. Even though we might be heirs of the kingdom, if we do not mature into fully matured sons, then we won't get to rule. So it's really important that we allow the tutors and governors to equip us. So a tutor means someone who trains us. A governor means someone that teaches us how to rule or rules over us until we can rule ourselves. So God has assigned those to look after us and to help us grow and mature. Now, most of us have never even heard of them or never met them, but they're still functioning in our lives. They're still active in our circumstances, even if we've never met them. When you do meet them and when you do engage them, you'll find it will turbocharge and speed up and accelerate the process of maturation, becoming mature as sons, becoming perfected as sons, another version says. Galatians 3:29 says, we are heirs of the promise. Romans 8:16, we are joint heirs with Christ. If we're an heir of that promise, we have to be trained to be a joint heir, to stand alongside him and work with him and to function with him in kingdom government, because that's who he is. See, Jesus, when he accomplished the work of the cross, didn't put his feet up and just rest. He actually went into heaven before the Ancient of Days and received the kingdom, and then he's given that kingdom to a people, us, who will fulfill its works. But he's looking for a mature people who will actually do the work rather than actually depending on him to do it all, which is what most of the church have done. And most prayers are about, God, will you do it? When God actually says, I've given you the authority to do it. You just need to learn how. So an heir of a promise doesn't mean it's going to inherit the promise automatically. Only mature sons will inherit. There is a training process to go through to inherit the promises of God, and so that we will fulfill God's promise. So as heirs, we have huge potential, but we need to be trained. Isaiah 61:1, which is our DNA verses, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Now, we assume that's talking about the Holy Spirit, but actually the Holy Spirit, it isn't talking about the Holy Spirit, it's talking about the Spirit of the Lord, one of the seven spirits of God. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus to equip him and anoint him, but the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was there to train him in his role of fulfilling the kingdom. And everything he did, he taught him how to do the things that he did on earth, as it is in heaven, to see what the Father was doing. Because the Spirit of the Lord shows us what the Father's purpose is. 1 John 1:15 says, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. God is creative light. Now, there is a created light that we live in and we're under right now. But there's another dimension of light which contains all the wavelengths and bandwidths of electromagnetic frequencies and the ultimate speed of light, because light operates in different speeds. And that is what God is. Now, we can see a pyramid, which is some of those structures we see, as a prism. And a prism takes white light and manifests it into seven colors, which we have here represented in the flags, which are representative of the seven spirits of God. And they contain frequency and wavelengths and vibrations which enable us to come into alignment when we engage with them. There's a frequency that they have. And those, what happens when you get light going into a prism? It's split into different attributes, not just one. And since we have the flags here as a rainbow shape, if you like, that's what we see. And it's a sign in the Bible of covenant, of God's promises, of God's blessings that belong to us. Now, we have a diagram there, which we have there, and there's loads of them there you can take, but which represents the seven spirits and give you insight into what they do. So I'm not going to go into the diagram now, but we're going to go into and look into the various things that happen. So we can engage with the colors that represent the seven spirits. And you may feel you're drawn. So the Spirit of the Lord is red, Spirit of Wisdom orange, Spirit of Understanding yellow, Spirit of Counsel is green, Spirit of Might is blue, Spirit of Knowledge is indigo, and the Spirit of Fear of the Lord is violet or purple. Now, there are some people who say different things around that. Those are the colors that I've had revelation of, and I know Ian Clayton taught us that when he was here. And there's a good teaching he did while he was here on the website that you can actually look at, which goes into the seven spirits of God in detail, and we'll just touch on a little bit of that. So we have these things set out. What do they do? Spirit of the Lord mandates us for position. Spirit of Wisdom equips us for position. Spirit of Understanding authorizes us for position. Spirit of Counsel prepares us for position. Spirit of Might reveals us for position. Spirit of Knowledge empowers us for position. And the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord brings us into accountability for position. Now, in the holy place, in the tabernacle, there was a menorah, or a candlestick that had seven candles burning, which is a representation of the seven spirits of God. And the Spirit of the Lord was the central pillar that held all of those together. And they all hold together with that. Now, as we see the sort of whole thing here again in terms of the position that we are brought into. And that's what we understand. What is a position? Because if we're mandated for a position, what is it? What does it mean? Well, just some definitions, dictionary definitions, a few of them there. A right or appropriate place. A strategic area occupied by members of a force. An advantageous position or location. A social standing or status or a rank. A post of employment, a job. The area for which a particular player is responsible in a team. So there are positions in government. Prime Minister, Chancellor of the Exchequer, Defence Minister, Education Minister, in our form of government. There's positions in a team. Goalkeeper, right back, midfield, centre forward, all sorts of different positions within a team. There are positions in heavenly and earthly dimensions that we need to engage in. Zechariah 3, 6 and 7 talks about the position of having charge of the house and charge of the courts and being able to stand in the assembly of God, which is a position that we have in our role as sons. So there are positions of heavenly government with kingdom authority attached to them. And we saw a few weeks ago that as a position, I am a dwelling of God, I am a mountain, and I am a gateway. And this is all about the position that we have in government that we can engage with. So an appointed position, a mandated position, a governmental position, position of sonship, our destiny has positions attached to it. We need to know our position because that position is about our eternal identity. Now, if we don't know it, we won't be able to fulfill it. And God wants to reveal it to us, and the seven spirits of God are how he does that to enable us to understand. So let's look at the words: mandates, equips, authorizes, prepares, reveals, empowers, and holds us accountable. Because if we don't know what they mean, how are we going to engage with them? The Spirit of the Lord mandates us. A mandate is an official order or commissioning to do something. It's when you give someone authority to act in a certain way. Instruction, directive, direction, decree, command, order, injunction, edict, charge, commission. Lots of other words that you could use for mandate. But it's an important word to understand because that's what we need to get every time we need to do something from God. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He received a mandate to do the same. God wants to show us what he wants us to do every day of our lives. He wants to mandate us to do it. The Spirit of Wisdom equips. Equips means to supply with the necessary items for a particular purpose. So the Spirit of Wisdom wants to give us what we need to fulfill the role that we've got. You know, if you've got a job as, let's say, a carpenter, and you have no saw, hammer, chisel, or anything else, or jigsaw, or circular saw, or any of the things we might get in our day and age, you aren't going to make an awful lot. So we need to get the stuff that we need to do the job, to supply with necessities such as tools or provisions, to furnish with the qualities necessary for performance. These are just dictionary definitions. To furnish, provide with whatever is needed for use or for any undertaking. To fit out as a ship or an army. We need to be fitted out with the right stuff. The right abilities, the right powers, the right gifts. Everything we need to enable us to fulfill our position. Spirit of understanding authorizes us. Authorize means to give official permission or approval to an undertaking or agent. You see, we can have the tools, but if we're not allowed to do them, use them, then they're not much good. So we need to have an authorization that gives us permission to function. Therefore, to permit or sanction, to allow, to agree to, approve, give one's consent to. And that is what we need in our lives, to grant us the authority and power. Spirit of counsel prepares. So you can have all those things and be totally unprepared. You might not be prepared for the situation. You might be prepared for the circumstances. You may have all the gifts and abilities, but when you face a situation, you may feel, oh, I don't know what to do because I'm not prepared. So the spirit of counsel will give us what we need to prepare us. To prepare means to make someone ready or able to do or to deal with something. Now, there may be loads of things that we may have to deal with that we haven't even seen yet. So we need revelation to prepare us for whatever's coming. To make ready beforehand for a specific purpose, as for an event. There is some stuff coming that we need the counsel of God and the spirit of counsel to prepare us for. To put in proper conditional readiness. Yeah, we need to be ready. The spirit of might reveals. Reveals means to make previously unknown or secret information known to others. So the spirit of might will bring us revelation and will reveal us in our position. To make known something concealed or secret. To unveil, to publish, to impart, to tell, to announce, to proclaim. Spirit of knowledge empowers. The word empowers means to make someone stronger, more confident, especially in controlling their life and claiming their rights. This is just a dictionary definition, but it applies to our position of government in the realms of heaven. We need to know who we are so we can be confident in doing what we're called to do. The spirit of knowledge empowers or invests with power, especially legal power and official authority. The spirit of the fear of the Lord holds us accountable. Accountable means required or expected to justify actions or decisions, to be responsible. And this is where a lot of people fall down. They don't want responsibility. They're happy for God to do it all when he has actually entrusted us with the position of government for us to do it. So to be responsible, liable, answerable. The obligation of an individual or an organization to account for its activities, accept responsibility for them, and to disclose the results of them. So we have a scroll of destiny which aligns the thoughts of God and of our life prepared and agreed by our spirit before the foundation of the world. We have that agreed. Then there's a scroll of our life which the spirit of the fear of the Lord has and will show us, if we engage with him, which will show us whether our scrolls line up and match. And they'll show us not anything to do with sin, because sin's been dealt with by the cross, but they'll show us, does our destiny as a son of God align up with the life that we've lived as children of God when we become born again? Only deals with when we've become born again, not before. Because that is what it's aligned to. And we need to be responsible, because there is wood, hay and stubble, or gold, silver and precious stone on that scroll. And we have to give an account for our life before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you can engage that judgment seat, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord will enable you to engage it before you die, which is a really good idea, because you can get some of this stuff sorted out now. You don't have to wait. So we're trained, and these seven spirits are there to train us to have insight into the ways of the kingdom, its judicial protocols and its functions of government. If you don't understand how something functions, you're never going to understand how to do anything in it. So they want to show us the what, the why, the how, the where, and the when. And then they want to authorize us and hold us accountable for outworking what we know. It's really important that we learn how to engage with them. Now, you can get this. I'll run through this quickly. You can get this from what Ian shared when he was here, and I just want to run through the outline of it. If you don't try and take it all in, just listen, and then you can go back and you can engage it. When you engage with the seven spirits of God, the Spirit of the Lord is about the position, positional dominion. Spirit of the Lord mandates us for position. It teaches us, enables us to experience and see the reality and dimensions of the kingdom. So it opens up our understanding of the different dimensions. About the throne room of God, about the power and authority of God, about dominion, about our sonship, about our rulership, about how we can be transfigured, translated, and trans-relocated. It's all about shifting dimensions. It teaches us about bringing divine order, about heavenly government, of justice out of heaven, about bringing government to the earth and so that it can be outworked. Anything to do with the glory realm and the realm of those dimensions is about how the Spirit of the Lord will enable us to engage with heaven. Spirit of wisdom equips us for position. Spirit of wisdom produces prosperity and delight towards God. It's all about intimacy with God in our position of government. Teaches us how to judge and bring justice. Teaches us how to exercise those things as sons from the throne we've been given to rule on. It's all about ruling. You find the Spirit of wisdom and wisdom herself in Proverbs 8. It teaches us how to bring divine order and authority into the spirit realm and how to bring that justice out of that realm. So it'll teach us about the courts and how to operate the different courts of heaven. Releases about contentment and joy in knowing and fulfilling our destiny. When you're actually in the right place and you know who you are, it so frees you to be you. And there's a joy and contentment with when you find your place. And so many people just don't know where they fit, where they belong. They feel square pegs in round holes and round pegs with square holes. Actually, the Spirit of wisdom wants to make you fit. It wants to show you where you're fitting into the purposes of God. Spirit of understanding authorizes this position. Teaches us where to and how to access the realms of God. So the different realms in heaven, this is where understanding will help us to engage. Teaches us how to use what we have at the right time. Helps us decipher revelation and visions. Many of the things you see are quite cryptic until you understand the symbolism of it, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding will help us in these things. Teaches us how to perceive, how to teach, inform others about the realm of the kingdom. Because we have to be able to share what we know in a way that other people can engage in. Teaches us how to rule in the heavens as a son of God. Spirit of counsel prepares us for position. Spirit of counsel teaches us which way to rule as a son, teaches us how to access the counsels of God, how to consult with the different courts and the counsels of God, teaches us how to resolve some of the issues that are going on in the spiritual realm, to help us bring that advice and revelation into this realm. How to commune and gain God's advice. Instructs us about the functions of the different council chambers of God, the different courts. So, you know, this you won't get all in day one. It's like when you first start engaging with God, this will be the beginning of bringing you into an understanding. And the more deeper you go with it and the more you pursue that position, the more revelation will open. And you'll find as you look into the different colors and stand on the different colors of these flags, there is a depth that you can go to. First of all, you just may feel something. You may not see an awful lot. But as you pursue and persist, you'll find you can go deeper. You will experience something. You will resonate with the different things that they carry. And you'll bring about that revelation in our lives. Because these things want to bring us into our place of position. Knowledge empowers us for position. Teaches us how to access the knowledge of God. How to apply that knowledge to the world around us. How to do things. How to change things. See, Jesus transformed things wherever he was. He changed water into wine. If you want the knowledge to do that, the Spirit of knowledge will give you that. If you want to know how to do miracles, how you can interact with nature and control the weather and control various things, which Jesus did as a forerunner and as an example, you need to engage with the Spirit of knowledge because he'll teach you those things. He'll teach you about how you can bring that knowledge into play. He'll enable you to gain knowledge about the supernatural realms of God and how to operate in them. The spirit of knowledge reveals things but teaches us to retain that revelation. See, your spirit knows so much more than your soul does. You know that from eternity, but also when you engage in the realm of the spirit, your spirit absorbs things and receives things that your head doesn't. Because your head gets in the way often and tries to analyze it and figure it out. Whereas your spirit will receive it as revelation, even though your head might not have got it yet. So don't think when you engage with the flags and you engage with, well, I don't know what happened. That's okay. You don't need to know what happened in your head until the time your spirit will engage the reason part of you and release it. So often I find myself saying things that I didn't know in my head. But my spirit knew them because I've hung out with God and the seven spirits long enough to absorb an awful lot of stuff. Hence, you know, when I do a whole lot of hangouts and I get asked about a myriad of things, my spirit releases a load of stuff without my head knowing it. I don't sit there thinking, oh, what's the answer to this? I just allow my spirit to release that. And that's what you receive when you engage the seven spirits of God. Your spirit will receive that revelation. And the knowledge, the spirit of knowledge, will be imparted to you in your spirit. And it will help us when we come to meditate and engage around God to release that revelation to our mind. Because then our spirit can then bring that revelation to us. Spirit of might reveals us for position, teaches us how to exercise the supernatural realm and the power of God and the dominion of God. This is what Jesus had, the spirit of might to do the miracles, to do the healing, to do the outworking. And the Holy Spirit is the anointing who brings the power to do it, but the revelation of that comes from the spirit of might. Teaches us about the council chambers of war and how to engage in the spirit realm to bring government to war in the realm of the spirit. Teaches us about the heavenly places of God and where we're seated in heavenly places. Places of governmental authority so that we can operate in our kingship. Instructs us how to do the works of the kingdom. And lastly, the spirit of the fear of the Lord is about the person of God. It's about the very person of God. I mean, it's something deep that comes when you engage with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, about God's person. Help me get through the dark cloud into engaging with the person of God. Teach us about the realms of holiness and intimacy and worship and reverence and righteousness. Teach us to access and bring order in our lives and to the world around us, and applies our righteousness in holiness in our lives. So fear is not about I'm afraid. It's about the understanding of the awe and wonder of God, the majesty and the might and the dominion of the person of God. I mean, God is so awesome. And there's so much that we don't understand. But the spirit of the fear of the Lord wants us to come into a deeper, that revelatory place of intimacy with him. And he will hold us accountable for those things that we've received. Whether we're going to work and outwork them for our own good or for God's glory. In my own time, I've met each of the seven spirits of the Lord. And I've met them personally. I've met them in heaven. I've invited them to engage in the garden of my own heart. They are individual spiritual beings that will probably appear to you how you need to see them. Because they have the ability to appear to you in the way that will bring revelation to you. So when I met the Spirit of the Lord, which is the key engagement for me, which led to all the others, the Spirit of the Lord took me to see all the other of the seven spirits, the other six. So he led me, and he was a male character. Some of them are female characters, that's how they appear to me. So the Spirit of the Lord basically met me and said, let me show you how the Lord operates. He took me to this huge giant screen where I saw various scenes. One of them was the sun warming a garden, and then the sun producing fierce heat, like in a burning desert. He showed me a bubbling river with still waters, and then he showed me a raging torrent capable of incredible power and destruction. He showed me a fire warming hands on a cold night, and he showed me a raging inferno and a forest fire. He showed me a shepherd's crook and a mighty sword. He showed me righteousness and justice, And he showed me Jesus speaking words of pure love as he washed the disciples' feet. And he showed me the words of anger he spoke when he whipped and cleansed the temple. He showed me the contrast between righteousness and justice and mercy and judgment. And this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord brings great separation and division in the hearts of men. The spirit and soul, dividing thoughts and intentions, the motives of the spirit and the soul. And he said, God is always good. He's always flowing from a gentleness and a humility motivated by love. But when you see righteousness and justice, you will understand wisdom. So he took me then to see wisdom, and then I went to see the other seven spirits, or five spirits after that. So I know that engagement with the Spirit of the Lord is so vital if you're going to cooperate with God. Because in every situation in your life, you need to see what God is doing. See, we look with our natural eyes and hear with our natural ears, and we make assumptions on based with what we know. But if you're ministering to somebody, and someone says, will you help me out of this situation? You need to know what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because the Spirit of the Lord will give you insight into whether God is using that situation as a forest fire or a huge torrent of water or not. And if you try and get someone out of a situation that God is using to transform their life, you're not cooperating with God. So we need to know what the Spirit of the Lord will tell us about what God's purpose is in everything that we do. You see, if we're going to, I was talking to Jeremy about this the other day, let's say we're going to administer things in a kingdom way totally differently to what we do now. So I was talking about the weather. So, okay, do we want a white Christmas or do we want a mild Christmas? And it's like, if we have authority over the weather, what would you choose? Why would you choose those things? Because you probably like them. But actually, what would be God's purpose in controlling the weather? What purpose would he have in bringing a freezing cold winter, minus 20 for 2 months? Because if he asked us to control that and bring that, we would really need to know that that was him, not us. Well, I don't want to go to work for the next 2 months. I'll stay at home, maybe. Because we can be motivated to do things, you see, out of our own soul. So we need to know, when we're going to bring government, what the Spirit of the Lord wants us to know from God's purpose and plan. So that actually, if it's like, no, actually, you don't want any snow this winter because God's purpose is for something else, then we need to get that revelation before we start administering the kingdom. Now, there are a whole load of host of administrative things in the kingdom that we will have authority over in this realm that we need the Spirit of the Lord and the seven spirits to equip us to be able to handle and do. Without them, we'll be on our own, doing it in our own strength and making a whole load of a mess. And actually, God won't give immature people the authority to change the weather. He won't. Because we will do it out of a whim rather than out of a purpose. God will have a purpose for government. And in all the things we govern, God wants us to have a connection with the seven spirits that will equip us to know him better, to know us better, to know our position for government and be sons of God. So today I would encourage you to engage while we worship. If your spirit is drawing you to a particular color, or to two colors. Often I will go to the larger flag where they're all together and stand on two different colors because there's something my spirit wants me to engage with. Often I engage with orange and blue, which is the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of might, simply because I get drawn to it. Just open your spirit to engage. Don't try and figure it out. Just be open to resonate and come into the engagement. Be open for the revelation that comes. And just be willing in your own life each day to seek for the God's wisdom that comes through the seven spirits to equip us in our sonship. Amen.